Good evening from the White House in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Fellow citizens, on August the 18th, 1945, 4 days after the surrender of Japan, I issued Executive Order 9599, which laid down the guiding policies of your government during the transition from war to peace. Briefly stated, these policies are, first, to assist in the maximum production of civilian goods. Second, as rapidly as possible to remove government controls and restore collective bargaining and free markets. Third, to avoid both inflation and deflation. Those are still our policies. One of the major factors determining whether or not we shall succeed in carrying out those policies is the question of wages and prices. If wages go down substantially, we face deflation. If prices go up substantially, we face inflation. We must be on our guard and steer clear of both these dangers to our security. What happens to wages is important to all of us, even to those of us who do not work for wages. It is important to business, for example, not only because wages represent an essential item in the cost of producing goods, but because people cannot buy the products of industry unless they earn enough wages generally. What happens to wages is also important to the farmer. The income he earns depends a great deal on the wages and purchasing power of the workers in our factories and shops and stores. They are the customers of the farmer and cannot buy farm products unless they earn enough wages. The fact is that all of us are deeply concerned with wages because all of us are concerned with the well-being of all parts of our economic system. This is a simple truth. But like all simple truths, it is too often forgotten. Management sometimes forgets that business cannot prosper without customers who make good wages and have money in their pockets. Labor sometimes forgets that workers cannot find employment and that wages cannot rise unless business prospers and makes profits. Like most of you, I have been disturbed by the labor difficulties of recent weeks. These difficulties stand in the way of reconversion. They postpone the day when our veterans and displaced war workers can get back into good peacetime jobs. We need more of the good sense, the reasonableness, the consideration for the position of the other fellow, the teamwork which we had during the war. It has been my experience in public life that there are few problems which cannot be worked out if we make a real effort to understand the other fellow's point of view, and if we try to find a solution on the basis of give and take, of fairness to both sides. I want to discuss the wage problem in just that spirit, and I hope that all of us in the United States can start thinking about it that way.